Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hands. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Thank you, and you may be seated. The hill, though high, I covet to ascend. The difficulty will not me offend, for I perceive the way to life lies here. Come, pluck up heart, let's neither faint nor fear. Better, though difficult, the right way to go, than wrong, though easy, where the end is woe. These words, penned by John Bunyan in his well-known work, The Pilgrim's Progress, tracks a character named Christian. In this wonderful novel, Christian finds himself on a road from the city of destruction, traveling to the celestial city, Mount Zion. A path, when taken, it is filled with many toils and dangers. And for Christian, there is no easy journey. As he battles up the hill of difficulty, through the valley of humiliation, and past Apollyon, he is confronted with many trials, and none of which are light and easy. Now, Christian's journey would have been familiar for those who were traveling to worship to Jerusalem. They were traveling to a place that was situated in the Judean mountains. And to travel through mountains, there was no easy trek for them. Quite literally, they had hills to climb, elements to battle, and ravenous animals to fend off. Tired and worn down from the difficulties of the journey, we find a battle cry, a hymn for the weary pilgrim. And as he journeys to Jerusalem, he begins to sing this very psalm, giving confidence to the worn traveler that his help, his shield, and his guardian is the Lord himself, and that the ever-near Lord will neither leave him nor forsake him, and he will always protect him. But this journey that the traveler to Jerusalem finds himself in isn't all too different than our journey that we are in today. We are pilgrims, beaten, marred by a sin-filled world. Yet the ever-present guardian will neither leave us or forsake us. And this is the point that I want you to see from this passage tonight, that the weary pilgrim can take confidence in the sure protection from his faithful Lord. In Psalm 121, we will see that the weary pilgrim can take confidence in the sure protection from his Lord. And we'll see this in 3 points. In verses 1 to 2, we will see that the pilgrim's protection is divine. In verses 3 to 7, we will see that the pilgrim's protection is thorough. And in verse 8, we will see that the pilgrim's protection is everlasting. So as we begin to trek through this passage, we'll start in verses 1 to 2. The pilgrim's protection is divine. Now that is divine in its origin. A question is immediately posed. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? And it's answered. It's from the Lord. No doubt the journey they had thus far and continuing so into Jerusalem would have been very rough. Now, we have to keep in mind no modern mode of transportation was available. So this trek that they had through the mountains, in the Judean mountains, up to Jerusalem would have been filled, as we have already said, with many trials. Now, as they are traveling, in the midst of the travel, the psalmist writes, and the weary pilgrim asks, from where does my help come from? Does his help come from the hills and from the land itself? Absolutely not. We've already read in the passage and talked about the journey itself was filled with many trials. The land was going to give them no comfort. Was the help from his own strength? Was his help from his own might? Was his help from his own will? No, the pilgrim, too, doesn't find his help within himself. To rely on either would have been foolish at best and potentially grave at worst. Rather, his help comes from the Lord, the sovereign creator of the pilgrim, himself, and the land. Now the statement, who made heaven and earth, tells of a God, a helper, who is totally unrestricted. He's unlimited in his ability. He is the total, unbound, sovereign God Almighty, the ultimate protector. And while unbound, he is yet personal. Not only the creator of heaven and earth, but the very protector of that pilgrim that is singing that song on that journey. From this, we should ask, who is our helper? As we travel to heavenly Mount Zion, as we are trekking through this life of sanctification, who is the pilgrim's helper today? Is it our own strength? Is it our own will? Is it our own might? Or is it the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth? We know the answer to that. All of us does. The same Lord who helped those traveling to Jerusalem is the same Lord that helps us today. He is the same Lord who has helped the church for ages, from Augustine to Luther down to Dabney and Sproul. The Lord is the protector of his bride. When trials and tribulations come our way, on our journey, we must not look to any other form of help, not our own strength or circumstances, because neither will give us anything. Weary pilgrim, because I know we are weary, and we're tired, and we're worn by this sinful world, your protection is divine. Now, we'll move into the bulk of this passage. We'll go into verses 3 to 7. The pilgrim's protection is thorough. We'll look at verse 3, the first half of the verse. He will not let your foot be moved. Now, when we read that, a question may come up. What does that mean? We say, the Lord immediately comes out. He will not let your foot be moved in this psalm. Well, the ESV Study Bible in their comments has literally slip as you walk. And reading this in context, they are pilgrims traveling to worship through the Judean mountains. Now, anybody who has hiked before, who have been in steep grades, would know how important it is for the foot to be held. Now, if they were to slip, it would have been real dangerous. And so would the peril that would follow. But the Lord, though the journey is dangerous, would not allow the danger to overcome the pilgrim. He would not allow their foot to be moved. Now, we look at that in context, and we take a step back, and we ask, how is this reflective of our current pilgrimage to heavenly Mount Zion? Though imminent dangers and daunting trials lie in our path, the Lord will not allow our foot to be moved. We all know that our life that we live as a Christian, and we can see it some in America today, we all struggle with it. But think about the persecution that is going towards our brothers and sisters in other countries especially. They're faced with many trials and dangers. But the biggest trials and dangers aren't those that face the church from without. It's the trials and dangers that face the church from within, or the Christian from within. It's the sin that is within our own heart. The sinful desires, the sinful lusts that we seek after every day. And though many trials and dangers come our way, the Lord will not allow our foot to be moved. Though we may stumble, we will never slip. The weary pilgrim, though tried and worn, will never be overcome. To put it in an illustration, a loving father will often send his son to get his first round of shots. When he sends his son for the first round of shots, he knows that it will be very painful for his child. But he also knows through that pain, it's for his good, and that good things will come from doing so. Now, just as a father sends his child to get shots, so too the Lord will allow trials to inflict us. And know they are painful. They are for our good. But no trial will be so strong that we cannot bear through it. The Lord is our anchor. And as much as our help comes from a sovereign Lord, it also comes from a very loving Father who steeps every trial that he sends our way in mercy. Now, Calvin says of this passage, although it often happens that the faithful stagger, yea, are even ready to fall altogether, yet as God sustains them by his power, they are said to stand upright. And as amidst the many dangers which every moment threatens us, it is difficult for us to get rid of all anxiety and fear. The prophet at the same time testifies that God keeps watch unceasingly over our safety. In verses 3 to 4, we read, or 3b, I should say, to 4, the psalmist says, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The word that's used for to keep also means to guard, watch over, and attend carefully. After we have the promise that the pilgrim's foot would not be moved, that the Lord would sustain us, that we would persevere to the end, we now have the promise that the Lord were to keep and guard him as well, not just as he is traveling, but also, if you pay attention, while he's asleep. While man sleeps, while man rests, because it's necessary and natural for us to do so, the Lord never takes breaks, he never slumbers, and he never sleeps. He is always watching. Not only is he able to protect that very pilgrim in a very personal way, he's also the keeper, the guardian, and the protector of all of Israel. So while that particular pilgrim has to take breaks, the Lord is ever watchful and protecting him. But while the Lord is watching him and protecting him, he is also keeping all of Israel. It wasn't just one pilgrim traveling to Jerusalem for worship. Israel traveled for worship. There was more than one pilgrim at a time. And the sovereign Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, is able to protect each and every one of us. Man may have the power in himself to protect himself at times or even those in close proximity. But man has his limits. While he may protect what's near, that won't stop a wolf in the distance from snatching a traveler. But the Lord is able to protect all of them. Now, the key term here is all. This guarantee extends beyond just those traveling to Jerusalem for worship. He is able to protect all pilgrims and at all times. And as we are traveling to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the Lord is always watching us as well. Just as the Lord is not bound by space, he is also not bound by time. And just as he watched over those pilgrims traveling up to Jerusalem, he is also watching over us. And he is watching over us this very minute. And anything that is sent to us, anything that comes our way, we know that has been sent from a loving Lord. And nothing can happen to us that doesn't come from him. And we can rest and take confidence in that. The ever-watchful Lord will keep us in our days of tribulation. Now we can look at verse 5a. The statement is repeated. The Lord is your keeper. And we can ask, why does he repeat this? Well, what was once alluded to is now expressly and specifically stated. We saw, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And now we see, the Lord is your keeper. If it wasn't clear yet, it should be clear now that the Lord himself, Yahweh, is your keeper. He is your protector. He is your guardian. And as we will see, he is also your shield. It's worth noting that the word keep is used 6 times, if you count, in this psalm. Now, many have noted, and I believe rightfully so, that this gives reference back to the Aaronic blessing that we see in number 6. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Some have said that this is an exposition of that very statement, that the Lord keeps us. Now, whatever you want to say of that very thing, what we have to note that here is that through this we can see that this psalm is attempting to help the traveling and singing pilgrim to remember that the Lord is their sure protector and that he will keep them. A man says to his wife, I will protect you. But we have to ask, how much guarantee is in that statement? A man can only make statements so far. He may attempt to protect her, but what guarantee is that he will always protect her? Sure, the Lord may use the husband to protect his wife in times of danger. He may use the husband to fend off attackers or anything that comes their way. But that is just a means that the Lord employs to protect what is his. Just as easy as the Lord may say, stay, the Lord can also say, come home. The only one that can make such promises, such statements, with full guarantee that he will protect what is his, is the Lord himself, the keeper of the keys to life. Apart from him, nothing leaves this earth, and apart from him, nothing surely got here. It is him alone that says when and where. And it is for that reason that he alone can make such a guarantee. And as I said, we will see that the Lord is also our shield, which brings us into the next part of verse 5, and that is, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. Those travelers on their way to Jerusalem under natural elements would be overcome by them if it were not for the Lord. And the psalmist, in beautiful language, paints a picture of the shelter of the Lord and the nearness of the Lord. The Lord, like a shadow, will shield them and protect them as they travel. But the beauty of this verse lies in the truth that the Lord will not only be their strong protector, but that he is also ever near. While the Lord is the keeper of Israel, we must not forget that he is also our keeper. He isn't just the keeper of Israel past, but he's also the keeper of Israel present. Just as the Lord was ever near and personal to every pilgrim on that journey to Jerusalem and Israel, he is also ever near and personal to us as we travel on our journey to the celestial city now. That is our Lord. He will neither leave us or forsake us. He's as close to us as a shadow. Spurgeon says, God is as near us as our own shadow as we are, and we are as safe as angels. Not only is the Lord ever watchful, but he is also ever present and personal. Now in verse 6, we see that the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And I'll quote Spurgeon again, doubtless there are dangers of the light and of the dark, but in both and from both we shall be preserved. Literally, from excessive heat and from baneful chills. Sunstroke and frigid temperatures in the land which these pilgrims were traveling would have been a common occurrence. With the lack of protective equipment that modern man has nowadays, but they had something greater. Something that modern man not many modern men have now. While man may have better technology than they did thousands of years ago, what this pilgrim had that most don't now is the Lord's protection. And we can ask ourselves, what's better? Technology or the promise of the Lord? Should we rely on what we have, what we own, or should we rely on the Lord? Man has made technology, and it can fail. But the Lord's promises will never fail. And it stands true in His Word, and it will never, ever, ever fade away. The Word of the Lord stands forever. Now, it's also important to note that David Dixon points out something very interesting in this passage. The wording is, "The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." He points out that this could be an allusion to the care that the Lord had for His people when He brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage and slavery, as He covered them as they traveled out by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And I have to ask you, how applicable is this to us? As we, in the new Exodus, are being brought out from sin and slavery, bondage to it, being brought into the light by the Lord Jesus Christ, being freed from sin by Him. As He is bringing us out of that, the care that He showed over those people in Egypt, over Israel, is the same care that He is showing us today. The Lord is protecting us, and He will always protect His bride as He brings them out of the bondage of sin, leading to their consummation in heavenly Mount Zion. The Lord is your shield at all times. Day and night, when you sleep, He takes no breaks. When you stumble, He doesn't let you slide and fall. As you stand on the edge of the cliff and are ready to fall over into the pit, the Lord catches you and holds you, and He keeps you. The Lord is our protector. Verse 7 tells us, "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life." Now, not only did the Lord promise to protect Israel as they traveled, and the weary pilgrim as they traveled to Jerusalem, to guard them from physical dangers on the journey, but now we see that the Lord has promised to keep them from all evil, even to the very depths of their soul. While the ravenous wolf or bear would have been a danger along with the heat of the sun and the cool of the night, the Lord promises more. He promises to keep their very soul and to keep them from all evil. He was their very shelter in the storm, not just the journey itself to worship, but in life as well. God was as near to them as He is to us today. While Jesus promised that He would neither leave us or forsake us, the Lord, in this very passage, promises the same thing, that He would be ever near to them, ever watchful, always protecting them. The same protection that we receive now and the promise that we receive from Christ, God has placed that protection, that promise, on the people then. Now, this application can be seen direct to us. Evil can be taken many ways, from evildoers or to, as some say, evil influences. The world, fallen and wicked, can certainly have an influence on the heart of the redeemed. The journey to the celestial city is paved with trials, and as we step along the narrow way, many temptations have and will continue to come our way. But again, we hold on to this hope, this promise that is placed in this passage, that the Lord is our protector. We have no other hope outside of Him. He is ours. As Kidner says, a biblical commentator, "This does not imply a cushioned life, but a well-armed one. See, it is not just temptations, but a battle. You're to be killing sin, in the words of John Owen, or sin will be killing you. With our own vices, we could not kill sin. With our own strength, we could not kill sin. But with the strength of the Lord, with his protection, with his tools, with his armor, we can overcome and will overcome all evil. But notice the language. It's with the Lord's protection, with the Lord's tool, with the Lord's armor, we overcome evil. It soon becomes very clear that all of our victory is from the Lord. But not only will the Lord bring us to overcome and keep us from all evil, he reaches even further and says that the Lord will keep our very soul. It's not just outward actions. But for all of eternity, the Lord will keep our soul from all evil. Now, if we piece this passage together, we see that the Lord will not allow us to fall away on our journey. He's never off duty. He's always watching. He's always near. Day or night, he is still protecting the weary pilgrim. And he is protecting you. Yes, you. From all evil. And in the words of Jesus in John 10, none will be able to pluck us from the hand of our loving Father. The pilgrim's protection is thorough. And now we see in verse 8, the pilgrim's protection is everlasting. From this point here, the psalmist makes it clear that the traveling pilgrim not only takes confidence in the Lord's protection as they sung this psalm, but going forward, future pilgrims to Jerusalem would be covered by the sure protection of the Lord. And this makes it abundantly clear, if it hasn't become so already, that the Lord never ceases to protect those who belong to him. And as they traveled home, back from worship, the Lord was still protecting them. The wording is, you're going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And it is important to realize that this doesn't just constitute protection as journeys to Jerusalem, but protection no matter where they find themselves in life. As many journeys as the pilgrims may take, until he is in the presence of the Lord, he has been promised by Yahweh himself that he will be kept, guarded, protected from this time forth and on. Though troubles assail us, they will never overcome. We have a shelter in the storm, a shield in whom we can trust, a rock of ages in which we can hide and take shelter when the waves of life come crashing down on us, which they have and they will continue to do so until we are glorified and standing in the presence of our Savior. While many foes rise against us and the ancient evil one despises us, none can take us. The Lord, whom blesses us and keeps us, will do just that. From this time forth and forevermore, as the pilgrims progress to heavenly Mount Zion. Now this psalm should make the pilgrim, the one who's placed their trust and faith in the Lord, rejoice. But what about the unconverted? What about those who haven't placed their trust in the Lord? What about those? Do they have the protection of the Lord? Do they have that sure confidence that whatever comes their way, it will work for their good? Whatever comes their way, they will be protected. As we read in Romans 8 and many other places, the only time the Lord promises sure protection and that all things will work for our good is for those who love God. So I ask, what are for the rest of them, for those who don't love God? They are enemies of God. Instead of protection, they receive judgment. To those who do not love God, they are at the mercy of a holy and righteous God, and one day that kindness that God has been showing so far will be gone, and the patience he once had will wear thin. And all that will be left for you is judgment, not protection. But as I said, the redeemed should rejoice. The Lord is your protector and shield, and we can count on his sure word. Now, as we close today, weary pilgrim, what a blessing it is to know that your Lord is your keeper, your protector and your guardian. None other could offer the sure protection that the Lord can, and while many nations and government may promise to keep you safe, none can be as confident as the Lord. The Lord's words are sure. God himself is saying, I am your helper, I am your keeper. My protection is thorough, my protection is everlasting. And only he can make such statements. Pilgrims in all ages can rely on the divine, thorough, and everlasting protection of the Lord. Because it is just that, from the Lord. Now he has said it, and he will surely do it. In the end of Christian's journey and the Pilgrim's Progress, Christian finds himself where? He finds himself in the celestial city, heavenly Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem. Now this will be where every traveling, weary, heavy-laden Christian will find themselves. In the presence of their Lord. But until then, until our race has been run, until our course has been finished, the protection of the Lord will stand. And just as it stands now, how much more so in his presence will we stand under his guardian wings for all of eternity? Fellow pilgrims, we can take confidence in the sure protection of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your protection, for your mercy, and for your guidance. Through this marred and sin-filled world that strikes us and afflicts us, we thank you for being there, ever near, ever close, ever watchful. Lord, we thank you for keeping us and protecting us. And we pray that we would walk from here with that confidence, knowing that no matter where we are in life, whether it be in this very building now, or in our homes, or on the roads, or at our job, nothing comes our way unless it is from the hand of a loving Father. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.